Warning, Shut Up Let's Talk contains some rad but heavy language and adult themes and may not be suitable for audiences under 18. Viewer discretion is advised. That was the most sweetie pie gesture. Shut Up Let's Talk, episode 124, I believe, folks. What up, what up, what up, what up? What's going on, everybody? Shut Up Let's Talk. Join tonight with the homies from Born Beneath. You guys, we're hanging out tonight with Renee. We're hanging out with Danny. We're hanging out with Mike of Born Beneath.
What's going on, Alizar? Thank you for having us.
Thank you for coming by, guys. The string section of Born Beneath.
Yes.
That's right.
Hell yeah.
I appreciate you guys coming by, man. How's life treating you guys since everything went to shit last year? I've never met two of you guys. So, you know, me and Danny go... Me and Danny
way
go
back.
That's
way
why. Back. Okay, so yeah, so Mike and I will take this because you know, you already met Danny. Yeah. So. No, well, everything's great, man. Everything's great. Life is good now that things are kind of starting to go back semi to normal. We're playing shows again. We've got a show coming up on the 19th. So we're super, super ecstatic about this. It's exciting. So
I love it, man. And you guys got riffs for days, by the way, man. When I started listening to the tunes, I was just like, wow, who's writing all these tunes?
Well, I'd say Renee and Lou wrote most of these songs on the first album. They wrote it, and then they brought me in, like, what, three years ago? I don't know.
2007.
Sweet, man. 2000.
So, mm-hmm. And I brought it, and I wrote the bass licks, and we recorded that album. But, I mean, ever since, I mean, we've been writing together and creating this new album, this next album that's coming out, and we have a single that's coming out. I'm not going to say the name of it yet, but it's really good. But, I mean... We just started, ended up working really good together and writing together, and then we brought Daniel in, which just created more to the foundation of everything that we're doing. And I just, I couldn't be more happy to what we're doing right now, what we're writing, and the successfulness of what we're creating and what we're getting ready to record. So,
because Danny, I mean, I don't think Danny needs an introduction to anyone in the South Florida scene.
Thanks, dude.
That's a good
fucking
thing.
Nice.
Oh, do you think I'm dissing you? This is good. I'm telling you that if you've seen Macronium play, you know who Danny is.
It's true.
He's the guitarist of Macronium.
It's the wall of sound.
Yeah, man. I know we just started this thing, and this is normally where towards the end I'd be like, "Oh, hey, Danny, you're not so bad after all." I'll just start off with that. Okay. So, Danny, big props to you. I've always thought he's a great guitarist and a stand-up guy. So when I talk to him, you know, before shows, after shows. I'm like, all right, he's not too bad. And then next thing you know, I'm fucking chilling with him and this and that. And then I would playfully tell him, yo, how do you feel about playing, like, you know, jam with us? Let's play some guitar, you know, and see what happens. And he told me straight up, yo, I'm scared shitless. No, I'm kidding.
It's true.
No.
Hey, this is before he asked me if we wanted to bring another guitar player in the band.
Because Mike was opposed to the idea of a second guitar player.
Yeah. I did not want another guitar player in the band. It was only a 4-piece band. Not a 5-piece.
Born Beneath has always gone back and forth, yes, about a fifth member, especially obviously if it's a fifth member, it's going to be a second guitarist.
I wasn't happy about it, but...
What's the reason for no second guitar player? Is just too riffy? Does it become too...
I've been used to playing with a 3-piece, 4-piece band my whole life, since I was 10 years old. I never really... And it's not about, you know... Territorial,
it is.
Wait, let me say something. If it is about territorial, I asked Renee, I said, well, he can play on your side of a stage. And you know what Renee said? Hell no.
Because it doesn't make sense, Mike.
It doesn't make sense.
Aesthetically, okay. Anyway, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, okay, aesthetically. Yeah.
No band has two guitarists on one.
So, anyways, no, but I was like, no, I was always into, I'm like, no, we need more. I understood it. I got it. I'm like, And Dan came in, and he really just came in and developed and learned and just made these songs better than they were before. So I was wrong. I was just so happy.
It's an experiment that we...
growth.
Yeah, it's an experiment that turned into the next chapter.
I accepted it, and you know what? It became something positive.
And things evolve, man.
Yeah.
Things evolve.
So I'm not...
Because like I remember back in like 2018, 2019, I would always, like I said, riff with Daniel, just saying like, hey, let's jam, you know, let's see what happens, you know? And he would always say like, oh, one day maybe, let's see.
Yeah.
And it just fell to the back burner, but it was always like an idea that was in the stratosphere and no one ever, I guess, pursued it,
well,
but it was always
to.
On everyone's mind.
I was opposed to it. Because
it's tough, man. You know, we play very like, don't know, it's just, it's not everyone can, I guess, play it, you know, but I knew Danny was, obviously he's into extended range guitars, 7 and 8 strings, which I do. So I would see him play, and I know his thought process with like tone and gear and
we
all
just
that
have
shit.
Like common taste in music.
Yeah, and then like, our people very, we listen to.
Yeah,
I told you they're two lesbians.
Anyway, anyway, that's yeah. a beautiful thing. But you know what? Every good guitar duo should be. One of my favorite bands is Lamb of God, and those two guitar players work yeah. so well together. Mm-hmm. And you know what? There's something about two guitar players playing at the same exact time that just fattens up the sound yeah. so nicely.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
There 100%. Was, there was, because with Macronium, we were always against having a second guitar player. We tried it for a bit, but it just became like extra noise. And Macronium shit's really easy to play. But it's also like, I'm sure these guys felt it when they wanted to stay the standard guitar, bass, drums, instrumental section. Where you don't, you just want to keep it to one person. Whoever's writing the song, you want to teach it to one person. You don't want to have to take your time per person or whatever. So. I knew that they had that sentiment because I had that sentiment with Macronium. And so it wasn't until quarantine that I started to really listen to more prog shit or gent. I hate that word, but gent shit. Like the stuff that like Animals as Leaders does. I dove deep into that. Like bands like Monuments. I love Monuments. And like the two guitar shit started to kind of make more sense to me because it's like, I've said this before, but like Wayne Static from Static X, those two guitar players, when they would play, they don't really do too many things that are different. It's two guitar players playing the same exact shit. And Wayne Static has been on record saying that there's nothing heavier than two guitar players playing the same shit, even if it doesn't contribute musically where you're being diverse.
As sonically, it's everything.
Sonically, if you're just getting pounded, it just sounds huge.
Yeah.
So through quarantine and everything, it just kind of seemed like I was turned on more to that prog shit and like the layers that you can create. And I mean, fuck, dude. It's just so much cooler when some person comes up with an idea and someone else hears it differently than you do. And then you make shit from that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I get it from the music of Born Beneath. You know, hearing the album, you know, recently and just kind of getting it into my ears for the first time and absorbing it. Because I haven't had a chance to catch you guys live. You know, so
19th, you should be there.
Hey, I would love to. You know, when I listened to the music, man, the first thing I thought was, I can't wait to watch this live. Because hearing the riffs, you know, is one thing about a band, like a lot of the gent stuff these days. What I don't like about gent these days is that it loses me sometimes. You know,
sure.
It's so rhythmic. It feels like I'm driving on the highway all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's
it
just,
requires concentration.
Yeah, you know, it's got groove, but you're always going 70, 80, you know?
Yeah. It's kind of like we were talking about this earlier before we started. Was what's one of the things I like about Monument specifically is because there's always a motif.
Mm.
Even though there's a lot of like odd signatures and polyrhythms and shit, there's always a motif. There's always something that comes back around, whether it's a hook in a chorus or a line that the guitars are playing. There's always something that comes back. And you have to, I feel like you have to have that in a song. Not every band can pull off the riff salad where it's just smash after smash after smash of just riff, 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 riff. The bands that tried to do that and pull that shit off, it just sounds like it loses my attention. Kind of like what happens when I hear someone solo too much, like an Yngwie or some shit. I'm just like, God, this is fucking...
Yeah,
I start to lose.
You watch Yngwie for 15 minutes and then you're like, all right, I've seen enough.
Yeah, it just becomes like, this is okay, you're great, but fuck, dude. It just sounds like spaghetti.
Let me hear some music.
Know, you bring up a good point that it reminded me that people that go to concerts, those are the real fans because they're ready to hear an hour to 2 hours of just that same band. And even if, and I feel like almost most bands can get repetitive if you really sit down and have to listen to it for an hour and a half. Right?
Like stoner metal.
Well, look, I went to see Buckethead 2 years ago, and you know what that was? It was just a bunch of guitarists in the crowd.
Arms folded.
No, not even, yeah, you know what? Arms folded, but not like judging. It was more like arms folding, and then they're just like...
Respectful.
Yeah, they're just nodding their head and eyes open.
That guy's a fucking anomaly, bro. He's so amazing.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Well, listen.
He gave me his bucket.
I'm not talking about Buckethead. I'm talking about Born Beneath. Talking about Born Beneath right now. What we do is, what we write, our songs have always different changes. Everything is different. We don't sound the same as every other band. We don't have the growl. Lou sings, has some of the best vocals in the world. He goes from lows, highs. I mean, he screams, lows, growls. I mean, what we do is we create all that and we put it together. We put metal, heavy metal, death metal. We put it all in one song in each, every single song that we do.
Yeah.
What we do is we don't sound exactly the same as every other band that's out there fucking playing.
True.
It's just,
true.
Not, that's what I don't want to do. I don't want to sound... I go to a show, I see every band going...
Yeah.
And that's all you hear. I mean, they're great bands. Don't get me wrong. I mean, fucking some talented motherfuckers playing guitar, bass, drums, insane shit. But what we do is we take all that together and we collaborate it and we convert it into something and create a song that has all those diversities, everything in that one song. And each song is always different.
Yeah.
With Born Beneath, we don't sound the same with each song. Mm-hmm. Our songs are all different. And even through those songs, every part's different. We have so many changes in songs. And I'm not saying, I'm just, we just, that's what how we write. That's mm-hmm. what we do. We create something that people don't do. Right. Everybody can write I wrote that just now. So, but I mean, you know, we.
I'm gonna need you to cut this so I can listen to it later.
Yeah, but right. Tab that. Get shit copyright up. Strike right now from just that from that vocal.
But I mean, we just what we write together. We all come with ideas and we get in the studio together and we just create this these songs.
Yeah.
And it's I know every band says that, but our shit doesn't sound like every other band.
I'm gonna piggyback off of him real quick.
Please
there was a show that I went to in Tampa. These guys were supposed to play it, but they couldn't because their drummer got like he got sick, right? COVID or whatever.
Oh God.
Shout out to Gary, our HR department. And so I went up there and Godrot was playing, who we're playing with also on the 19th. Check it out.
Sweet.
And so every band that was out there was the same shit. Like four counts on the hi-hat. Every song was him. I'm like, oh, okay, well, this band should be different. And I'm like, fuck. God Rock comes on, who doesn't sound like that. They're very like, they're like their own like 90s inspired sludge doom shit. Matt is an amazing songwriter.
Shout out to Matt.
Amazing songwriter. Very underrated. That's a band that's underrated. Godrot.
Shout out to Godrot, folks.
Underrated band.
Let's get them on the show sometime.
Underrated band. So they come in with their hooks and their melody and their singing, and it's the crowd at this venue just goes, and you can see them just kind of creeping forward. And before you know it, everybody was just like, it's a three-piece band. And they're just like, they're just looking like, fuck. Because after a while, that it's just, bro, like, what the fuck, bro?
It gets repetitive, man.
I feel like I'm listening to this. It's like you're hitting, the, like you said, being on the road, driving, it's like you're going off and you're just hearing, you're hitting the fucking
the little thing on the side.
You know? And that's cool, but to an extent, bro.
No, I'm with you, man.
People try hard to get
I feel like that's where you were going with that.
I was, sir.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's what I'm happy about with you guys is that, you know, the big theme of today's episode, folks, you know, and by the way, folks, hi. It's been a long time since we've had time to hang out with you folks. I've been so busy, you know, trying to get to know the band so far that, you know, we haven't had a chance to just welcome you guys back to the show. It's such a pleasure having everybody into the new studio. Hope you guys like the new place, guys.
Thank you, sir.
You know, feel at home. Feel at home. Cozy. We're drinking beers. We're having a good time. And what I was interested in today is talking about how eating cookies, drinking
beers.
Let's
not forget, selfless plug. Natasha made this.
Christmas came early.
Hi, babe.
Well, how can we bring the rock stars? How can we bring rock stars back, guys? And what I wanted to talk to you guys about is, what do you view yourselves at as a band? Are you guys rock stars, or are you guys those down home type of dudes that just happen to play some instruments and make some badass riffs? What is the vibe?
Yes,
put my
Mikey?
Hand up like I'm in a classroom right now.
Michael, please.
I'm gonna take this one first.
Michael Rogers.
No, I'm not a rock star. I'm a person that loves to play music. I love just creating with people and just making something out of nothing and presenting it to people in front of us and having that vibe back and just having that wonderful feeling. I'll never be a rock star. I'm not a rock star. I'm Mike Rogers, and I'll always be Mike Rogers. It doesn't matter if I'm a rock star or I'm not. I have the best guys in the world to play with right now. I have the best band in the world, Born Beneath. It's the best thing I've ever had. It's the most happy thing I've ever had. So that's what I'm at.
I like to hear, man. Cheers to that. Can we cheers to that?
Is there a mic that he can drop?
Yeah, no. Yeah. Can we cheers to that? That's good shit, man.
No pun intended.
Thank you very much.
That's what it should be, man.
Your beer. You put it down and
that's good luck in
that's
40
art right there. This is me on like Friday right before work, like, just right before I'm getting up. But anyway, I'm really interested in getting rock stars back into the scene, guys. Because you know what? To me, you guys are the rock bands. You guys are the band nearby. You guys are the ones making those riffs. You're up on the stage. We're watching. And me, as a consumer, I'm so I miss having people to look up to that are, you know, these dudes. I want posters of you guys on my fucking wall. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I really do. I really do. You know what I mean? Because to me, that's...
Raise your standards.
That's please. The good... Well,
Jesus Christ, dude.
You know what I mean?
I mean, physically speaking.
I mean, you know, in a motivational way, right back at you. Because, you know, you guys have what it takes to be on somebody's wall, you know? Some dude who's 16, 17, trying to pick up his first fucking guitar, listening to those riffs. That's who I give a fuck about. Because you know what? At the end of the day, when it comes down to, like, we can make music and have all the fun we want for the art, but if we're not also doing anything for the industry, we're also just kind of just standing around doing nothing.
We have the support, yeah.
And the industry matters, man. Like, the guitars you play, like, I think it's important for the... It's not that they even have to endorse you or sponsor you or whatever the situation is. It's just the fact that if you're making a badass riff on that thing, when somebody who doesn't know how to play it sees you and they think, damn, I need to pick that thing up, mm-hmm. you know? What am I? My shit's dusty. I got to pick that thing up. Yeah. I got to learn that riff. How am I going to... Let me DM him and ask him what that riff is, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's all about. And that's what... You know, Linkin Park, who was one of my favorite bands growing up, and I was a kid, what I liked about them the most was the fact that I learned that they would be in chat rooms talking to their fans before they were famous.
Yeah.
They'd be in AOL chat rooms being like, hey, guys, we're just trying to make it. Like, check our stuff out, you know?
I heard that they don't do that anymore.
Jesus Christ.
That's really bad.
Well, ever since the commas rolled into the paycheck, you know.
I think that's something that was cool about the MySpace era bands, right? Like the Suicide Silences and the Mice of Men or whatever the fuck, and all these other bands that they started off basically like Enter Shikari and all these bands. Mm-hmm. They came into the fold because they were able to post their music on just fucking
MySpace.
And when you went to the band page, there was five songs you could listen to. Easily digestible shit. But, you know, dude, you fucking message somebody and there they are. Like, they just respond. Really cool story. When I got into Suicide Silence, right when I bought my first 7-string, I remember I wrote their guitar player, Chris Garza.
Whoa.
And I saw his page on fucking Facebook, and it wasn't even the band page, it was his personal on MySpace. I wrote him and I asked him, dude, what guitar is that? Da 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 da, whatever. Bro, like a day later, he goes, hey, what's up, man? Thanks for like listening. This is what I'm playing. And it was a Stephen Carpenter model 7-string.
The Ibanez?
The ESP.
ESP, Stephen?
Oh. You told me he blocked you.
No, I did. I'll show you my. He didn't block me. He didn't block me. Stalker. So then, full circle.
I wasn't
right?
expecting that.
So then he starts his own podcast interviewing different members in his circle.
He's lying.
I'll show you the fucking chat, dude. I did not delete this chat. I ended up writing him because he interviewed Ross Robinson, who produced one of their records. Ooh, on his stories, I just commented like, dude, sick interview. Wrote back, thanks, man. I'm a big fan of this guy. Da 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 da. And I'm like, bro, like, I didn't even know what to write back. But I was like, yeah, because he did all these fucking great records that I love. And I listed them. He goes, bro, those are all solid. We went back and forth for like 2 days. Just Fantastic. Talking about shit because we're the same age.
Nice.
And I'm like, you know why I'm worried about this motherfucker next to me on the stage? Stalking motherfucker, man.
Why do I gotta stalk you when you're right here, dude?
He's connecting. He's just connecting with the role models. And that's
no,
what's
he comes up next to me and rubs elbows and shit. I'm like,
because
what the fuck's wrong with you, man?
That's because you said you didn't want to rub elbows. So I gave you a little elbow
you know
rubbing
what?
Before you
that's
start.
A, you know what? An elbow rubber is the difference between a comma on your paycheck.
What does that mean?
Meaning like somebody that knows how to talk to somebody would be the difference between you getting main stage or the side stage.
You're welcome.
In a show. In a show, like you
Is
know,
that
like
my ass hurts.
But you know, it's just it's amazing to me. Like, like I was just talking to somebody these days. You know, I'm talking about themes in my life these days. I've been having these themes that just show up day by day. And one of the biggest themes I've been having in my life the other days is opportunity and confidence. Right?
Mm.
You could line up 10 people in a fucking line and give them all an opportunity, and maybe two of them will actually make something out of it because they got the confidence to execute it.
If you're lucky. If you're lucky.
If you're lucky. If you're lucky. And the thing is, the confidence is the hard part because a lot of people at some point think they can't do it. And even if they can't, realizing that you can't will only fuck you up.
I think that's what the difference is when people nowadays, when they, like you said, like if you give 10 people the same opportunity and two of them make it, the other eight don't, some people will want to scream, well, that's not fair. This shit wasn't equal. And it's like, wait a minute. You guys had the, people confuse equality and opportunity with shit being like,
but then
there's a difference. There's a difference between equality and equality of like equality of outcome and equality of opportunity. Not a shit ton of bands are gonna have the same opportunity, and some might. But it's about taking that advantage. And like we were talking about earlier, like I lost my train of thought, but
opportunity and what, everybody get an opportunity.
What you were saying, we can give everybody the same opportunity, but that doesn't mean that everyone's going to have the same outcome.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because some people want it more than others.
That's life.
Yeah, dude. That's with anything.
You can start something, try and have a good opportunity of something you're trying to believe in and everything else. But guess what? That shit could be taken away from you in one fucking split second. You have to just positively be there and just concentrate and be positive about it. And do what you can. But you know what? You're always going to get negatives until you get that one positive. When you get that one positive, guess what? You just had a good show. That's it.
And you know, you brought up something important. You said the word taken from you. And at the end of the day, if you don't hold on to that shit, you know, like a tug of war, it will get taken from you, you know, because, and that's the thing, you know, like I look at I brought up Linkin Park earlier as a band, and to some people, they're such a goofy band, and they are in general, you know, because they got a DJ scratching in the back for whatever reason.
Who did it in the 2000s?
Who did it in the 2000s, right?
And a rapper. But
as goofy as it may be. Oh, right? Well, yeah, they got, yeah. They had all that, you know, as goofy as it was, all those bands at the time, they were given an opportunity. They were given a stage to be on. They were like, all right, guys, do you guys want to be on Ozfest? It's Ozzy headlining the shit. Are you guys down to just be on the tour? And they were like, yeah.
Yeah.
And guess what? You know, and they were, and at the time, yeah, I get it, times were different too, but there were still crowds out there. They were still able to connect with people through their lyrics. And, you know, here's a side question. So let's say that there's that 16, 17 year old or younger kid who has, you know, got his first shitty guitar, doesn't know how to string it up yet, right? He's inspired. We all identified with the music we listened to growing up. That's the shit that we fell in love with. We were like, you know what, this guy's lyrics, these fucking riffs, that's how I feel today. What are they gonna, what is the 16 year old gonna identify with Born Beneath's music, like when they hear it? Or is it music to say fuck you establishment? Is it music to say I'm gonna better myself?
Heart.
Is it heart. What is it?
Have heart, believe.
We're not a political band. We're not a religious band.
Just have heart and believe in what you do, and just enjoy what you do and love what you do. That's all we do. We write songs. What we do in the studio, what we record, everything we do it because we love it.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing else.
Yeah, we don't have an agenda.
Strictly,
we play what we like. We all happen to like heavy music. And we all happen to be, I think, decent at our instruments. So we all are decent songwriters and put that shit
together. Why'd you look at me?
By the way, for the record, I looked at him and emphasized the word decent.
I wouldn't
inspire. And you looked at me.
I'm still looking at you right now. Look, is that on camera?
But I would love Born Beneath to inspire younger musicians. And I would love for us to make more music in this world. I would love for other people to hear us and hear other bands and everything. I mean, this whole culture of music, everything that's going in this world that's circulating. I want a kid to grow up. Listen, music saved my life. I mean, when kids were stealing fucking cars and doing all this shit and going to jail, you know what I was doing? I was in my fucking garage playing bass guitar.
Yeah, dude.
I was, you know, I mean, I think music, sports, anything that art, you know, painting, anything that takes a kid away from fucking this stupid fucking world that we live in that makes them be creative is the best thing in the world.
Yeah, man. I had a bunch of friends that I'm still pretty, not tight with, but we talk. And when these guys were out fucking going partying, doing drugs and fucking and shit, I was busy fucking skateboarding and playing guitar. Like, I was trying to learn, like, the next fucking Blink-182 song. I was trying to figure out how to play MXPX and shit. And it kept me busy to the point where I would hear my friends go, we went to this fucking sick party, dude. We're so fucked up. And I'm like,
I learned a riff.
We do that? Like, yeah. You guys do that now?
But let's listen to Dude Ranch for the fourth time.
Yeah. and that was me, dude. Like, that was me all the time. Like, I just loved getting home, plugging in my fucking amp, picking up my guitar, my bass, whatever I had at the time, and just playing along to all the records I knew how to play front to back. I would just sit down and play them, all of them, because I was just obsessed.
Well, you know, this is a very string instrument friendly room. So I will say that the first time I ever fell in love with the guitar was the first, you know, it was the day that I hit my first chord on the guitar, fully tuned up.
The G chord.
It was an E minor.
E minor. It's a tough call. Those are my two favorites.
You know, it was the E minor. You know, and it was, I tuned this bad boy. I had this guitar. I was 13. My mom and dad brought me a guitar, you know, from Wally World, Walmart, you know, and I was super happy with it. Yeah, I was stoked. I didn't know what to do with this thing. The strings were all loose. It wasn't tuned up. I would strum on it just to get the vibe right, but I knew it didn't sound right. eventually, 9 months down the road, I realized you need a tuner for this thing. So I bought it. I went to Walmart, got a tuner. Shout out to Walmart for helping kids get their first
shout answer. Out to tuners, dude.
Walmart, no, take that shout out back. They should have told you that when you first bought the guitar. Do you have a tuner, sir?
Yeah, facts, right? They should have. If only Walmart
that's
had dedicated.
That's an upsell missed opportunity. That's what I'm saying.
I'll be honest.
Visit your local music store.
Not that they need the fucking like money, but you know.
Visit your local music store instead, guys. How about that?
I feel for you because what I used to think tuning up was I would see like my friends like Guitar World magazine stack, and I would see where the position that the tuning pegs were in, and I would grab my bass or guitar and look at the paper. Oh, right, his is
just
turned,
make them straight.
His is turned like this, and then this one's what? Turned like that, and I this one's turned. See. And I'm like, now I'm in that band's tuning. I had no fucking idea. I'm like, this is why everything sounds like shit.
I feel you, bro. Cute. That's cute. It is adorable, actually. You know, it's
swear
amazing.
To God, dude. It's that ignorant innocence that's just kind of
teenagers.
Like,
it's really? Listen,
swear
okay,
to God,
it's,
dude.
It's much more. It's much more important to be a resourceful
don't
teenager.
Judge me,
you can cut that right off.
What, cut, what is it?
Can you cut Danny's ignorance right now?
No.
I don't want the world to know
dumb.
That.
In fact, I might make that
if
a
you
clip
don't cut,
it's so good.
If you don't cut
it's
that,
so
then
good.
He's going to be cut from the band.
Oh, man, dude.
Again, see, I got my real estate back.
Oh, man.
Mike's rooting for that to happen.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, you know, well, at the end of the day, it's like, you know,
kick him out.
To me, that was the most fun part of learning riffs. You know, once I finally had this thing tuned up all the way, you know, I and then I hit that first chord, and you feel the resonance, you feel that vibration against
for
your chest
sure.
of the
for
guitar.
Sure.
I was like, holy shit, this is a, you know, this is a feeling that's irreplaceable. This is one of those feelings like, you know, riding the bike or
it just feels right,
skydiving
though.
And stuff.
You want
to
go
it's
back
more than
to
that,
because
you know what, when you learn to ride a bike, it's like anyone, I guess anyone could learn, you know, right?
Dude, the first
whether it's quick or slow, but they'll learn, you know, and when you do it and you're like, all right, good, I learned how to ride a bike, I can get around. But when you play an instrument, there's two kinds of people that learn to play. It's either they were told to play or they wanted to play, you know? And then there's the 50% that they get a gift for Christmas, it's a guitar, and you know, they might try to fucking tune it or look at it or hold it, and it goes into the closet, you know, and they never touch it again. And it gets either sold on a garage sale or passed down to somebody else.
I buy all my guitars from those people.
Good
for you, because
Reverb is a hell of a drug, dude.
but then there's the other flip side of the coin, where the other 50%, they want to play, and they're usually maybe asking for the guitar in the first place,
or once
they get it, they're just learning. And now we have resources, you know, at the time of this podcast, it's 2021. So YouTube is a fucking thing, dude.
Year 3000.
Yeah. No, but when I started playing, I mean, this was 2000. It's been about 20 years now, 2001, and YouTube wasn't really a thing. So.
It wasn't, dude. I used to print. I didn't even have a printer. I was so broke. I didn't even have ink in my printer. I used to go to my buddy's house to print tabs from his printer and take a big stack home.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And I was so thankful that he would let me print stuff on his computer. So I would just print. I remember printing the whole Hybrid Theory album, printing the whole 311.
All six pages.
Blue album. You know, facts, right? Just chords. And just the hardest part of the songs was tuning your guitar to the tuning. Mm-hmm. That was about it. You know, besides that, it was just, anyway. But, you know, but that was the beautiful stuff. To me, you know, that first step, man, I'll never forget the day I bought my first guitar, man. Going to Sam Ash with my dad.
Yep.
You know, and then the cool thing was our sales associate knew how to actually play,
right?
Which helps selling a fucking guitar. Mm-hmm. So you know we had this beginner guitar. It was a Brownsville. It was like a Brownsville Strat.
I think everybody should know their first guitar they got.
Oh yeah,
man. What was everybody's first guitar? Let's go, Mike. Go, brother.
I had a fucking Cort Sunburst bass.
Cort is amazing.
Cort's
shout
a
out to Cort.
Gangster, dude. They make really ergonomic bass.
Cort probably made that guitar.
They come from the same factory.
Yeah.
I was like 11
World
years
music
old.
Industries.
And then I still had the same head. I had a Fender Bassman head with a 212 cab. Woo! I still have it's two tubes and the Fender Bassman. I still have that head to this day.
Congrats, man.
I had it when I was 10.
That's amazing.
But my Cort, I tried to be like one of those spin the guitar around and I broke the neck off.
Oh, wow.
On a bass?
On a bass, yeah.
How tall are you, Mike?
I think I saw a rat or something play live and they spun the guitar around their head. I'm like, oh, that looks
that's
cool.
Harder on a bass. Because it's,
oh, no, I broke the
it's,
neck.
It's
right
tougher
off.
On a bass, though, because it's such
I
a long
I lost that
neck.
Cork.
Oh,
so
man.
Then my next bass was
should probably
music
just went straight to the floor.
My next bass was a 69 Music Man Sunburst also.
Sweet, man. Music Man with the Stingrays?
Yeah, Stingray. Yeah.
Those are fucking awesome.
Cool.
And I had to sell that because I had no money. I was broke. So I sold that, which I never sell my guitars ever. But I had to sell that one because I was like on the streets.
Hard times, man.
But I don't care. Everything was great. I mean, just that was my first guitar. Was a Cort bass.
Fuck yeah, man. That's what's up, man. Yeah. Danny, man, first guitar, brother.
My first guitar, the first proper electric. Because I had a bunch of shitty Toys R Us acoustics.
Sweet,
but
that's ambition.
I'll go
building.
It's two answers, right? I asked my dad for a guitar. He went to Sam Ash and bought like a $60 used Les Paul copy, a brand called Castilla. And then I was like, this is fucking ripping, dude. A little 15 watt front.
I'm not, but I'm excited about the name, Castle.
It's a little 15 with a little 15 watt Fender fucking practice amp that you push the button and
the front man.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Fuck it.
That one was cool, but it wasn't until my buddy Alex gave me his Kramer Aerostar ZX10.
Woo!
Red as fuck.
Is that the stretch style shape?
Yeah, single pickup.
Sick.
Oh. Hockey stick fucking head with a little whammy bar.
Gnarly.
That's when I was like, this is a fucking cool guitar. And I thought it was badass. He's like, here, you can just take it. And I was like, because his parents bought him like a dope ass Washburn Floyd and shit or whatever. So
Nuno?
He gave me that guitar and I took it home and I just felt inspired like by just grabbing it. Because it was like, dude, a friend gave this to me. It means more for some reason.
I'm with you, man.
So to this day, I still have that guitar.
Hey.
And it... My buddy gave it to me. It had a bunch of fucking skate stickers on it from Shorties and Blindside and all this shit. And
I missed that shit.
Oh, dude. That guitar has a long story where I gave it away then it somehow came back around and I got it back 10 years later.
Nope. Nice. Can you tell us that story like really quick?
Oh,
really
it's such quick. A long story, dude.
No, yeah, well, it's going to take like another hour.
Part two.
It's such a long story.
Part two.
Next episode, we're going to get this.
It's such a long story.
It's a three-hour story.
You know? It's not a three-hour story.
It was what you told me.
I'm already crying.
We were
right
drunk
now.
When I told it to you, and I'm pretty sure I cried a little bit when I was just looking at it. And he's like, can we go eat now?
That's amazing. That's amazing. All right, episode two, folks. That's
all right. Next.
Yes, feel free. Renee, my guitar? Man, first guitar.
Guitar, yeah, okay.
It was a big piece of shit.
No. Hey, you know what? What? Fuck you. Look.
Wow.
No, man. My first guitar was an acoustic classical that everyone gets.
Sweet.
Guess, or just like this guy said.
I wish I had a classical to start on.
Yeah, but it didn't last long. I quickly got my first electric, which was a Squire Bullet.
Hey!
Worth $100 from Guitar Center.
Sweet.
Right. And it was one of those packs where it's like, you know, the guitar with the little tiny 10-watt amp. 10-watt amp, the cheapest strap that exists.
I love it.
How old were you?
The cheapest picks.
I'm going to
interview now. Yeah. No, go for it.
How old were you?
The cheapest
picks. This was, I'll tell you, look, like, I mentioned it earlier. I've been playing 20 years, so this was the year 2001.
Easy, buddy.
Hey. Yeah.
Easy.
I got mine in 03, so yeah, we're right around the same time.
13 or 14.
Sick, man.
Yeah, I get in the grand scheme of things, though, that's considered kind of late. A lot of people start playing. I've noticed
when they're like six and stuff, right?
I've noticed a lot of musicians that end up playing as long as we have, all of us in this room, I guess. Like, all of us. Like, it's usually they started at 8, 10, 12. You know, like, I feel like at 13 or 14, I was already behind the curve.
Yeah.
But
I used to pretend like I hated music when I was a kid. I don't know why I used to pretend.
Oh, no.
Like,
no,
my
no,
parents.
Not me, man.
Like, my parents, for like a couple of years, actually thought I didn't like listening to music. I think it was because they used to put me on the spot, because I think I used to like recite songs. I used to sing back. Yeah. And I think they used to be like so interested, I would get like shy about it.
Oh, yeah.
So what? I'd be like, don't listen to me. I hate this shit.
You have the voice we never
had. Intimidation's a really strong thing.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, growing up too, playing as a kid, I mean, I would see all these people. I'm like, man, they're playing so good. Intimidation. But you know what? That made me stronger. That made me want to learn more. That made me want to be as good as them. You know, so, but yeah, it's not easy. I mean, it's a psychological kind of thing. It's like, I'm not good enough. I can't, you know, you're like, I got to go see a fucking psychiatrist. I can't fucking play bass like these motherfuckers.
What's
are.
Wrong
but,
with me?
But I never did. You know what I did? I just concentrated. I kept practicing. I kept playing. I kept doing and playing with people and learning from other musicians and gathering all that information. And that's where I'm at today.
Hey,
you know, it's a learning.
I want to emphasize the whole resource thing again, because
please do.
It's like, I mean,
that's everything.
If I can be so bold,
yes,
I'm even
be bold.
I'm
be
even
bold,
younger
man.
Than my string. Counterparts,
not, by, barbecue
not by too much, but dude, when I was learning, it's literally like what was it, guitartabs.net,
ultimate guitar,
yeah, all those.
I still subscribe to that place.
Dude. That's the next generation. They listen to all these tabs and shit.
Yeah, exactly.
See, I grew up just learning and playing.
Listen
from
to the
here.
Record. Oh, God.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Slowing it down.
These youngins.
I'm just shitting on like the current gen. It's like we still had it kind of easy.
Yeah, you newbies, man.
No, but I remember. Look,
you don't know soul.
There's numbers.
I remember trying to learn the Ride the Lightning solo from Metallica, and I pulled up the tab. You know, and the whole
tablature. I told you.
The whole.
So good. Yeah, I love it. I can't help it.
I'm the scapegoat.
That's my Bible, you know. Anyway, I wouldn't read sheet music. I still don't. By the way, fun fact, I don't know theory.
It would take me forever. I can do it, but it would take me so long. Because I have to actually look at the staff and be like, F-A-C-E.
Every good boy does fine.
And then once you see like the stuff that's below middle C,
when
you're
you
like, oh,
a,
fuck.
When you drop A, yeah. it's like... Assholes are among us.
I remember my first long-term goal was like, I'm going to learn to Ride the Lightning solo.
Sick. Well, on the Squire Bullet.
Yeah, exactly. I had the Squire Bullet. And
sick.
Then I noticed, by the way, like I'm pointing right now to Alvazar's S470. I had an S370, which was my second guitar after the Bullet.
Love
it. So to me, that was like the biggest of upgrades, and I didn't even.
The neck is just fantastic, isn't it?
Thin, and I got the Floyd Rose, which
Ibanez.
I think I paid people to change the strings in the beginning.
Did you?
Yeah, because it's a headache and a half. That's why I don't play Floyds now to this day. I think I like low maintenance guitars.
I got a cool. I'll show you something later.
So, but the point is, I was like excited because I'm like, oh no, I'm gonna get a better guitar. I'm gonna keep playing and get better. And I felt like I'm in it to win it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But then I remember the short term, like long term goal was also
ride the lightning.
And I see this fucking tablature, and it's like, oh, okay, I could do the first 10 seconds, 20 seconds. And then what is this? All right, I'm gonna try to do that. I'm gonna try to emulate that. And then yeah, I think to this day I still can't play it, just because I haven't like finished learning it, but. That was the building blocks, you know, and then became like Megadeth, and then it became Slayer and all.
Fun tidbit, you know, I learned a year ago about Master of Puppets, for example, right?
Mm-hmm.
We grew up learning all those riffs and tabs and all the solos.
You're gonna talk about the down picking, right?
Yeah. Well, no, I was gonna talk about the fact it's actually the song is sped up. The tape is sped up a little bit.
What?
Mm-mm. Yeah, that's why his voice sounds a little chipmunky. It's actually sped up for effect. It's sped up to make it sound more badass and just like.
I'm not sure what you're talking about.
So they recorded it. Yeah, they recorded it. If I don't know if you guys follow Rick Beato on YouTube.
I do follow Rick Beato.
I learned that from Rick Beato.
He did.
He did Master of Puppets.
I know what you're saying, and it's not that it's sped up. It's that the guitars are not in 440. They're in like 442.
Oh.
So they're slightly sharp, ever so slightly sharp. That's why if you play a song like Master of Puppets or even One, because they did it on Injustice.
It doesn't sound perfect.
It doesn't sound right. And you're like, I'm out of tune. It's no, you're in the E standard. It's just that they are ever so slightly sharp.
That's just
the
guitar playing, they can't fucking play it right.
I'm a big Joe Satriani fan. He's my favorite guitar player.
Absolutely.
And
well, he taught fucking Eddie Van Halen.
And Kirk Hammett, ironically. Yeah. We're talking about Metallica.
Yeah.
And, you know, he has a song called Lords of Karma. I tried, and he recently.
Off of Surfing with the Enemy.
Off of Surfing. And he recently released the Stripped album, which is just all the solos off, and you can just play along with the backing tracks.
That's really cool.
It was so fucking cool. I picked up my Strats so quick. he doesn't play Strats, but whatever, fuck it. And I was trying to play along with the song, and I was like, why is this? And I had to check myself if I was out of tune so many times. And in reality, I was like, oh, his guitar is either out of tune it's sped up.
No, isn't it flat? I think he's flat, though.
He was sharp.
He's sharp?
Yeah. In Lords of Karma, try to play Lords of Karma in tune, and you'll notice it's like too sharp.
He might be really weird. Yeah, he might step sharp.
That's like Megadeth for Peace Sells and So Far So Good So What. Only those, the second and third albums, they are slightly flat.
I don't get it. It's not sharp. Is it slowed down?
It's the same thing with fucking Pantera, dude. You try to play Pantera,
yeah, exactly.
You're not
dialed in.
You'll never be best to play your own goddamn songs and write your own songs and not have to worry about being recording and being tuned.
Mike, please, these are our influences.
No covers.
Original. I remember when I tried to play Walk, man. Like, I had the tab for it and I learned it because I've heard the song so many times. I was like, cool, I'm going to play along to the song. That first, I was like, what the fuck is this, dude? Okay, I'm in the drop tuning. I'm right where I need to be.
Why does
this sound so fucking off? And then later on you find out, oh, it's because they're like in 430 or some shit, like almost in between half and a standard. Yeah. So it's But if we're not going to get into it now, but if you really want to Google,
I think that
if you want to find out why all music nowadays is written in 440, Google that shit. It's going to blow your mind.
Compared to 432?
Compared to 432, yeah.
That's a big difference.
Why not just be original?
It's fucking, not worry it's about sick, it's sick. There's a whole, there's conspiracy behind it.
Well, you know what it is? You know what, Mike, real quick, man, I'll tell you, the reason why people trip over it, brother, it's because there are people out here with perfect pitch.
Yeah.
And the people with perfect pitch, okay, the problem with them is that they will hear a note. You know how like earlier I did the Paul Gilbert shit?
Yep.
And there are people like that you didn't walk into the room at that moment. There's a Paul Gilbert song we listened to earlier.
Scarified?
It's called Curse of the Castle Dragon. Oh, it's on a later album, Get Out of My Yard. And he hits a bum note, and you hear it clearly.
He played that, yeah.
Yeah, and so, you know, there's people that feel that way about stuff that sounds perfectly in tune.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are people that are like, you could have just tuned it up 3 to 4 cents,
mm-hmm,
and it would have been, you know,
I'm a firm believer,
recorded again.
Yeah.
I'm a firm believer that you're always your worst enemy.
We don't do that as far as, I mean, we're drop A.
You don't need to.
And everything, I mean, we collaborate with every chord, everything. I mean, I don't know. I think what we're writing and everything. Listen, he gets mad at me because I never follow him. I don't.
Well, let's not say never, because I know the songs was all like shit. Yeah. But I mean, there's.
But I mean, we follow each other, we write everything, but, you know, he gets mad at me sometimes, like, you know, you should just keep doing this. I'm like, no, I don't want to. So,
no, I don't.
But
feel
I mean,
like
but
it
collaborates and it comes. I mean, we create it together, we work together, and it collaborates together. And I think every part, every member of the band, the drums, the bass, the two guitars now, and the singer, I mean, it all has
it. Still feels weird to say.
It all has to be together. It all has to be together. It doesn't matter. You can have a guitar and a drum playing great, or a bass and a drums playing great, but if everything doesn't coincide with each other and doesn't just make it the full sound that we're looking for, we don't play it. But we write this, and it comes out the way we like it. We love it, and we work hard on it. And it's it. I mean, it becomes
that's all it needs.
A beautiful song.
Like I think that what's really cool, which I got into over the past year, is the different bands that make different tunings work to the point where, you know, if you try to play their shit, you're like, what the fuck is dadgad? You know what I mean? Like, what kind of dadgad tuning is that? And then you realize the intervals in between it. But then
I hate that.
I love really the crazy ass tuning. Like the first band I got into early on that has a weird fucking tuning is Google Dolls. No.
Yeah,
I
do.
I love it.
Is it Iris?
Really?
I fucking...
Is it Iris like C-C-C-G-C-C?
I love Google Dolls. And if you look at their song Iris and you look at the acoustic parts, like there's, you know, there's the bass is in E standard, there's an electric guitar in E standard.
It's like C-C-C-C-C.
But when you look at the acoustic, it's like almost like this obscure open C with one high E. And you're like, the fuck is that? But dude, you listen to that song and it's a beautiful song.
It's amazing.
He was fired.
But
as a guitar player right
hold
now.
Hold on, bro. But this goes back to your point, because that's a tuning that they use, and it's like, that's our tune. We play our songs on that.
You can say the same thing about Mark Tremonti.
But I like them.
He plays in some weird ass tunings, and, but, you know, they write good songs. Like, yeah.
But dude, underrated guitar player. But the fact that he can just be like,
he gets a lot of flag for being.
But the fact that he can just go like, I don't know these strings. I need to do a weird chord I have in my head, so I'm just gonna adjust this. Wank, and then drops a whole and a half step, and it's like, that's the chord I want to hear. And then now that song is in that tuning. And that shit to me is rad. Like,
I'm all the way with it.
Play your own shit, right? Like,
that's why Dan has that stupid pedal where he hits and it drops fucking lower.
Oh, yeah, dude.
He's like, dude,
you have a drop D pedal?
I have a drop pedal.
I just hit this
pedal.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks for exposing.
Fuck that pedal.
I don't give a fuck, dude. I have a
pitch. That pedal sucks.
I have a pitch shifter. Hey, how many times do you guys have to switch guitars? I don't.
I used to have a...
I don't do shit. You know what I do? I push a button.
Boom.
Yeah, good.
And now I'm in...
That's the gayest button I ever heard.
I used to have a Strat with a drop D tuner on it.
Oh,
that's
the hip
cool.
Shots.
That's cool.
That's right.
It was cool.
That's right.
And
it
worked. Ibanez, right?
It was a Mexican Strat Deluxe that somebody had installed. The dude was from Nashville and he recorded all this country stuff.
Fuck,
it was amazing.
Yeah, dude.
I got the guitar for $350. It was an amazing deal. And he had a drop D tuner installed on it and was like, yeah, man, sometimes on those country tunes, it just gets kind of crazy. So you just got a drop tune. And that it was a hip shot drop D tuner.
That's
and
what
that
I'm
thing,
saying.
It it works so perfect.
You did it once, you're like, holy shit, goddamn, this
holy
really
goddamn, I'm about to fucking fly. I'm flirting with disaster, baby.
He heard it go, and he's like, damn, this is heavy as buzz, heavy as shit, boys. I sound like Black Sabbath. I'm about to get some of them Chuggy Chugs. It's these boys drop, talking about.
Drop my accent, too. Holy shit, holy goddamn.
Dude, listen, you could write one country song and make millions and millions of dollars.
The country,
talk
okay.
About your trouble.
Country makes beer, more, your country music makes more money than anything in the fucking world. You could write
so
one
true,
stupid
bro.
Country. And I'm a country boy. I'm born and raised in Miami, but my family's from Georgia and Dalton, Georgia and everything. I'm telling you, country music, man, you write one good country song, at least you can get started
you know
to make
what
a metal
is?
Band after that.
Country music. I listened to country music recently.
It's so much.
It's so similar to rap to me because
that's bro country, dude.
The way
that's what it is. It's bro country
because the way they name drop, dude. The way they name drop, it's like hip hop where they talk about their Murcielago Lamborghini. Yeah. Nowadays, it's like I got my Ford pickup truck.
I've got my Chevy with its 8D Carolina stacks.
Eddie Bauer F-150,
44 pack Bud Light.
3500 Ram Cummins in the front, got a tailgate
I only play Telecasters until I'm in the studio. Then I play PRS.
A like country song Brad right now, Paisley. Man. You can make $1 million in that one country song you just wrote right now.
It's fantastic.
But you left your dog. Your dog ran away.
You didn't let me get there, though.
We didn't talk about mud. We didn't talk about.
Let me get there.
Your mom getting run over by a train.
We need more three-letter words. We need dog. We need mud. We need
dog, mud.
We need bud.
Cat,
we need
support.
We need beer without an E, so bird.
Ass.
Just a bunch of sick, like.
We need.
Just a vanity plate.
Well, that's a NASCAR.
Oh, yeah. NASCAR. We could turn it into a three-letter word, baby. Why not?
NASCAR.
There goes the mice.
NSC is NASCAR.
Holy shit.
There goes the mouse.
Say, we're halfway through full.
What else you want to talk about, bud?
Well, I mean, you know, I would love to ask you guys about what's coming in the future for Born Beneath. I know there's a new album in the works. I know that there's live performances in the works.
Yeah.
Is there a video in the works? Or do we have a music video coming?
There's an
I
idea.
I hope so.
We're gonna have something.
Yeah, there's ideas for videos for sure. Yeah.
Well, I'm gonna let a cat out of the bag. I'm dying to work with the band to make a music video. So if you guys ever want to get together to work on one, let's talk and do one because like I'm really down to do it. I'm working on Eros One's next video. That's a spoiler alert.
Oh shit!
Shut
up. Fucking
talk.
Cool.
So that's in the works now. We started talking about it last week. It's a thing that's just it started happening.
That's
so as
rad.
Soon as I Shout tackle that, if you guys are down to tackle the next one,
yeah, dude,
absolutely, man.
Let's all do it. Yeah, man, it'd be super fun. And I just I don't know, man. Let's just make some really fun looking things. So what's in the future for Born Beneath, guys?
We have a show on the 19th of this month, which is great.
Black Flamingo.
This is our Black Flamingo. It's going to be Silent Mara, God Rot. Hate Machine, maybe some people may or may not have heard of Hate Machine. So it's going to be a fun-ass time. You know, things are starting to kind of get back to normal, and we've already had, I think, three shows before this year. So 2021's already proven to be so much cooler.
Yeah, man, you can tell that people really are ready to come back out, bro.
Yeah, they're dying.
It's fucking...
We have to.
The first show that I played with them was in February at Propaganda up in Lake Worth. And let me tell you, man, the fact that people were even out there, because that was the first show I had gone to in like a year, and people were there. Like, we just want to hear live music. The love is out there, dude. People want to hear and see performances, man.
And
it's
that was
ready.
That was over 2 months ago. Too.
Yeah.
Let's get real. In the last 3 months, a lot has happened.
So much.
A lot has changed. So.
So much.
Again, you know, to date this podcast, it's now 2021. And it's dude, for real, people fucking want to go out, people want to go to shows, people miss live
Absolutely.
music, and not just the bands, you know, it's a bunch of other artists and just regular ass people.
I'm just being drunk around really loud guitars.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's something
yeah.
about really loud amps that just does it for me.
Yeah, yeah. Nothing else will scratch that
I
itch.
Just want to hear that.
So to answer your question, we got the show on the 19th. We're looking forward to that. Pompano Beach, Black Flamingo. Please make it if you can. And then after that, we just have a song that's already being mastered and will be released soon with a video way before the end of the year. I want to say
For
maybe
sure.
high hopes would be September. Yeah. Wow. September and then Newborn Beneath album early 2022.
Early 2022, man. That's exciting.
Yeah, because those new songs exist and we play them live.
Yeah, we're almost in the phase of getting into the studio and recording these new songs. We might need one more new song, but we got pretty much everything ready.
That's exciting, man. I'm so happy, man. And, you know, I appreciate you guys coming on to the show, guys. You guys have some of the one of the best sounds I've heard in such a long time. You know, and I'm so glad that you guys are local, because that means I get to, you know, be lazy and get to see you guys 20, 30 minutes away from me, which just, you know, I have a hard time traveling because blah, blah, blah. So I just, I love knowing that you guys are close to me and I can get to hang out and see you guys whenever you guys want. I hope to get all you guys a beer at the next show.
Yeah, dude.
And thank you so much for being on the show, guys. Always a pleasure. Born Beneath, folks, check them out on Spotify. Check them out on what other music platforms are you guys on?
Everything. Yeah, Spotify, Pandora, YouTube.
Google, Born Beneath, Tremors.
Literally everything.
Yes.
You'll find it.
Whatever your platform is, just Born Beneath.
So streaming, folks.
Just don't write porn, Penny.
Thank you.
We got some weird hits.
Oh, man.
That's amazing. I didn't even think of that one. I should have thought of that one.
Some glass table shit, huh?
Hey, man. Well, in the meantime, folks, Renee, Danny, Mike, have a great rest of the night, folks. In the meantime, folks, love, peace, chicken, grease. Look both ways before you cross the street. Have a great rest of the night, folks. Peace.
Thank you, bro.